B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
This is my man. He's kind enough to give me a few minutes, and he's a great basketball guy. He really is. I love him. We go way back to New York, our New York days together. And in fact, he's all over Fox, FS1, and on the radio, The Odd Couple, with my other friend, Rob Parker. It's my man, Chris Broussard. Yo, Chris!
What's up, brother? How you doing?
My man! Everything good?
Everything is great, man. It's sunshine out here in L.A., so I'm not complaining.
I miss it already. I'm be back soon to come see you. Hey, we're going through a crisis here, all right? I need you to help out. I need you to help the people out. Because you look at this team, and you go, all right, they're built for 16. We talked about it actually before the season, that this is a team that should come out of the East, or at least fight Milwaukee to come out of the East. And they're playing a style that's not going to get them there. They're not playing bully ball. They're settling for – they shot 68 threes the last two nights. They're not a three-point shooting team. They should be going to the line. They're not taking the ball to the rack. What's the deal?
Yeah, look, one thing, I mean, you mentioned last night, the last couple games shooting so many threes. A lot of that, or some of it at least, is they resort to more threes when Embiid's not there. Now, he shoots his share too, but, you know, him being in and out of the lineup, and I get it. You know, you have to – I think his low management is legitimate. You know, I don't fault Joel Embiid or the Sixers for low managing him. You have to do it considering his history. But when he's not there, it can cause problems because you can end up kind of playing different ways. When he's there, you play one way. When he's not, you can play another and resort to shooting too many threes. So that can be a problem. And Tobias Harris obviously has gone cold from the three-point line. That won't continue. I think he's 0 for 18 over his last five games or something like that.
Yeah, I mean,
that won't continue.
You can see he's got the weight of that contract on him right now.
Yeah, and I think, look, he's moved up a notch. Last year, it was Embiid and Butler were the first two offensive options. He moves up now into that second spot. But I think he'll settle in and be fine. Ben Simmons, I didn't expect him to become a three-point marksman or even a great outside shooter. But I did think he would shoot the jumper, be open to shooting it a little more. And more than that, aggressive. His aggressiveness continues to wane. You know, some days he's more aggressive, other days he's not. And that's why you see kind of the up and down nature of his production. I mean, he's got to give you more than 14 points and 6 assists. And I think that's really due to him not being as aggressive all the time. So finally, they look like they don't have a closer. Now, we know it was Jimmy Butler before. But now, you know, they've gone to Embiid and he can deliver here and there, but, they really lack a closer. Now I picked them to get out of the East. I think you and I talked about that before. And I still think they'll have a shot. It's a long season. There's no need to panic this early. But I also think I thought it was a two team race with them in Milwaukee. Now I think it's a four team. I've seen Toronto up close. They play hard. I mean, they play hard, and they come at you. They're dogs, so they're going to be in the mix. And then, of course, you look at Boston. They're playing tremendously, 9-1 with Kemba Walker. So it's a four-team race now in the East. Philadelphia's in it, but they got to make some changes and improvements if they want to survive and come out.
So here we're talking to Chris Broussard, Fox, FS1, FSR. He's terrific. We go back to our New York days together when he was covering the Nets and the Knicks and doing it all. People are wondering about Brett Brown and whether or not Brett Brown is the guy to lead them. Now, I love Brett, and he's an emotional guy.
Right.
He reaches these dudes on another level. But you watch the style, and the style's not what he's projecting. He's the one. We were talking about bully ball and playing the game that way. Like, listen, you're right. Tobias isn't going to go completely cold from three, but they're not a team that's going to shoot. They have the longest, the most length of any starting lineup. You got to play defense. Like the way they played Boston in the first game of the season, where they went to the line 25 times,
yep.
They out-rebounded them, they played D. Is Brett the guy, Chris?
Well, to your point, the three-point shooting should play off of Embiid. And again, when he's there. You got something nobody else has in the middle, and that's a dominant seven-footer who can score down low. You've got to play off of him, feature him inside, yeah. And then if he dominates, that'll open up threes for other guys. But as far as Brett, look, you said he's a great guy. Obviously, you know, he's weathered the storm of the process and all that. But I have to be honest. I thought they made a mistake by bringing him back and not getting Monty Williams. You see what Monty Williams is doing in Phoenix.
Yes.
And that's without DeAndre Ayton. Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I thought that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And a lot of other people thought that as well.
Yeah.
I think they missed an opportunity. Brett is a good coach. I haven't seen enough from Brett, though, to tell me he's the coach to take them to the championship level. I felt last year, even though I thought Philadelphia on paper was better than Boston, I felt like if you met them in the playoff series, you would not beat them because Brad Stevens was able to out-coach Brett Brown. And now, as I'm looking at Boston again, now maybe Philly can get past Milwaukee. Maybe Toronto. Nick Nurse does a good job there, of course. But the way I'm looking at it now, I kind of am going back to how I felt a year ago, that if you were to meet Boston in the playoffs, even though I think you have more talent, they are better coached, and I think Brad Stevens would make a difference in that series, and it'd be tough for Philly to win. And now, of course, it's hard to make a change in the season. The record certainly isn't going to get bad enough where, you know, you need to make a coaching change. I just think they made a mistake. They should have brought in, kept Monty Williams, and I think moved on from Brett.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, in fairness, because I love Monty too, but in fairness to Brett, I thought he did a great job in that Toronto series. Look,
better than I've seen in the year before his playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
and look, I mean, and I think that's part of what made the team keep him is that, let's keep it real, you were a miracle shot away from going to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or at least to the next round, the final, conference finals.
So what do you do with Ben? When you look at it, because, again, we know he's not going to shoot threes.
Right.
It goes down to he's got to at least – there's no reason why he shouldn't go to the line double-digit times a game.
Right. It's the aggressive. They need somebody on that staff, in that organization, who can really talk real with him. And one thing you hear about Brett, again, we talked about how he's a great guy. There are some around the league, I'm not with the team every day, but who say, you know, he's got good relationships with Ben and Joel, but they can kind of do what they want. And I think he has to, him or somebody else has to be able to sit Ben down and just talk to him about the things that are lacking in this game. And almost insist to the degree that you can that he works on them. And no, he worked on a jumper, but now why aren't you taking it?
Yeah.
And then the aggressiveness, even more so than the jump shot, as you said, he needs to stay in attack mode. And if he's in attack mode, then he'll get fouled and he'll get to the free throw line. So
that's amazing, Chris. You know, real quick, because when the course of the game, and you see this, through the course of the game, he is in attack mode, right? And then all of a sudden, he'll go away for 8 minutes, and he'll disappear, and it drives people insane, Chris.
Right, right. I mean, it's bizarre. You see it with Lonzo Ball. You see it with Ben Simmons. Some of these young players, I don't get it, because they need to be in attack mode all the time. Ben is incredibly talented. I'm a bit baffled because he had a great offseason. Not only what we saw him posting, I mean, you don't put much stock in that, but just talking to people about how hard he worked and obviously worked on his jumper. But thus far, it has yet to translate. I don't know if, you know, did getting off to a 5-0 start and being so many people's prediction to win the Eastern Conference, did that go to their head? Sometimes young teams, or just personalities. I mean, let's face it, Joel, he's immature. I kind of, you could compare him, are they like the Cleveland Browns, where if the Cleveland Browns ran off 3 or 4 straight wins, I don't think they could handle it. I think they start feeling themselves and start thinking, hey, we've arrived, and then fall apart again. And is that an issue with the Sixers? I don't think so. Certainly not to the level it is with the Browns.
Right.
But you have to be mature in this league. And that's where I thought Al Horford, and still think he can make a difference because he is a pro's pro. And again, it's not time to panic. It's a long season. They're in a rough stretch. They lost 4 of their last 6. But it's early, and they've got tons of talent. And I do think they'll turn it around.
Yeah. Yeah, and listen, and you know, and you've been around this game a long time, that you do, it is a truism that you got to play to get, learn how to play with one another, particularly the since they're kind of an anomaly, right? Like, this is a team with such length that they're going to have to figure out their roles and playing together. We have Horford, and you have Embiid, you have Tobias, you have Ben, and you have Jay Rich. So you have a lot of different moving pieces that has to figure out how do you play together.
Yeah. And that's Brett Brown's job. They're somewhat similar to the Lakers. You know, you got the big and AD and Embiid. Ben's not LeBron, but, you know, big guy handling the rock, making the decisions, playing the point. He should learn from LeBron. I know they're friends, obviously, and he has tried to learn some things, but he's just not as aggressive as LeBron, and he needs to learn how to do that. But look, like I said, they'll get it together, I believe. But this could be good for them. Sometimes something like this is good for, like you saw Kentucky lose to Evansville the other day. I think that's good for them. You got a lot of young cocky kids who think they're, you know, the world revolves around them and they're going straight to the NBA. Now they've, you know, been humbled, and I think Calipari will be able to use that throughout the season. I think this could end up being good for the Sixers because let's face it, on paper, they should come out of the East. Now, I know Milwaukee got Giannis, but they don't have another star. Chris Middleton's kind of a, you know, he's good.
They lost Brogdon. I love Brogdon.
They lost Brand Brogdon. You see how well he's playing. Boston's obviously well coached and has talent, but I think Philly's got more talent.
Yeah.
And so you guys should come out of the East, but they're going to have to, like I said, change some things and improve some things.
Chris, you're the best, man. I love you. All right.
My man, we got to get you on the I couple again soon, too.
That's a done. That's bet. Whatever you need me. Tell Robbie I was asking for him, all right?
All right, brother. We'll do. Thanks, man.
I love you, buddy. Take it easy. It's my man, Chris Broussard, on the Comcast Business Hotline. All right. We'll come back. We're live. Primo Hoagies. It's my man, Joe Ben.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
12 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Bird's Peanut Chews. Delicious, chewy, chocolate, bite-sized pieces loaded with crunchy peanuts. Back live, Primo Hoagies. Right here, Old City. The purveyor of Primo Hoagies. That's Big Nick, ladies and gentlemen. He's the best. He's my main man. He's the greatest. What are you doing? Mario, you can't leave. You got to stay. Come on, Mario. You got to stay. Stay with Joe Ben. Joe Ben's your boss. We're having some fun at Primo Hoagie's. Old City, Third Market. We love it. Sit down. Sit down. Come on. It's our joint. Come on. We always love to have fun here, and it's a great time. Junis, you should be here, buddy. We miss you.
I miss you, too. I'm here.
You sound thrilled.
Every day.
What did you think of Chris and what he said?
I found it fascinating, the Monty Williams stuff, too. I never thought about that. He is doing a great job out in Phoenix. I mean, it didn't really cross my mind, fire Brett and keep Monty Williams. Like, that never crossed my mind, but it's interesting that he thought that, and I remember him saying that kind of stuff on here and on his show on Fox and all that stuff. It'll be interesting to see. And I keep on hearing, you know, we talked about it. Brett Brown said 25 more games, or excuse me, at the end of 2019, and they'll have it figured out. Well, Brett, that's 25 games. That's a lot of games. If you're playing right around 500 over the next 25 games, yeah, you're going to get into the playoffs, but you're not going to have home court. And that's a problem.
Man, I really hope he figures it out.
Especially because we are talking about NBA Finals this year, and we are talking about they have to at least get to the Eastern Conference Finals, if not the Finals. If they have another second-round elimination, oof.
I know. Well, listen, that's the end if that happens. I really, really like him. I like him a ton as a man, and I think the emotional intelligence piece is big. I think the emotional intelligence that he has means something. It's why I hope he succeeds. You know, listen, I hear everything you guys say. I feel this. I get it. I get it. I feel the same way. I get frustrated. I don't know about this offense. I've said it a million times. I mean, why are you shooting 68 threes, Joe Ben? What, really? Why are you shooting two games? You can't shoot 68 threes. You got to thump and bump. It's Pat Riley. You got to thump and bump. Rich is back. What's up, baby?
Hey, thanks for giving me the end of my time. I appreciate it, buddy. By the way, I love Christmas lights, and I'm Jewish. I celebrate both. Hey, Hanukkah.
I know you do. Come on, man.
My birthday's the 18th. I never get cheated. Anyway, real quick.
It's not just Chinese food on Christmas Day.
That's
a movie.
Right. So I listen to hear a lot of people talk about, you know, Carson Wentz and Embiid and Simmons. People, and I think you agree with me, people have to realize the Eagles and the Sixers made a business decision to make this Carson Wentz's team and make this Embiid and Simmons team and build around them. By the way, why does Carson Wentz not feel, why do people think he doesn't feel that was his Super Bowl? You realize that without Carson Wentz, there is no Nick Foles. There is no Super Bowl. They don't go 13-3 with home field throughout. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Yeah, and, I agree.
And I'll leave you with this, my brother. How many times have you and Mike gotten calls 3 years ago, 4 years ago, that I would rather have 10 losing seasons in a row?
I know. We were talking about that this morning. Yes.
And the last 3 years, they win the Super Bowl, they lose in the second round to a team who thought that Khalil Mack was going to take to the promised land, right? And they're 5-4. Guess what? It could be a lot worse.
I feel y'all. Do you like the peanut chews? Something tells me that you like the peanut chews.
You're not going to believe me. You haven't seen me. I lost 45 pounds. I stopped eating bread, pasta, rice, and potatoes, and all that stuff.
Good for you, brother. Maybe I won't tempt you then by giving you
Don't tempt me. But listen, keep up the great work. Thanks, I love buddy. You. I miss you. I'll talk to you soon, my brother.
Please, please, brother. Thank you. Let's go to Brian in Broomall. Bri, you're on 97.5. What's up, Bri? Bri, are you a peanut chew man?
Yeah.
All right, good. Before we end the call, I'm going to put you on hold because you're going to win the tub of Goldenberg's peanut chews, serving fans delicious chewy chocolate bite-sized pieces, little crunchy peanuts. So you got the treats. What you got, my brother?
Thanks, cuz. I had a dream last night, and it's about this Sunday, and I'll be going there with my brother. So I'm looking. I had a dream, and then all of a sudden, for some reason, I keep seeing the name Nick, right? And what I'm seeing is the Eagles winning at the end of the game, and I'm going to give you stats to back this up because I looked it up afterwards, but Nick Folk misses a field goal at the end of the game for the Eagles to win 23-21.
Let's make some noise. Come on.
Nick Folk, cuz, was out of the NFL all of last year. He did a part-time stint with the AAF, which was short-lived. And in 2017, the special year for us, he had a horrible 54% field goal percentage. He's been on New England for one game this year, and he kicked two field goals, the longest being a 22-yarder. I think the headlines should read on Monday, Nick Folk.
Oh, my God.
Beat
I love
the Patriots.
It.
And it ties into the whole storyline. I think, so I'm looking at it, and it's like the over and under, I think it's 44.5. It's 44.5. I mean, they win 23-21, and it's like, oh, here we go. Brady, fourth quarter, he's coming down, marching down our defense, and time's about to expire, and he gets them in field goal range, and we're going nuts, and it reminds us of the double doink, but instead, we miraculously
it's the Nick Folk! It's
Nick
the folk,
folk.
The folk skull chant.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love it. I love it, brother. Hold on, man. That's a great call. Judas, are you kidding me?
That's
great. It's Nick Folk. He's our hero. He doinks one. Nick Folk. Oh, that's genius. Pure genius.
Is it another double doink?
Now, the Folk is, he just goes wide right. Right?
That's how Folk misses.
That's how the Folk misses. It's the Nick Folk. By the way, it is Bobby here at Primo's had a great suggestion. Let me run this by him. Because he's wearing the Eagles Super Bowl hoodie, right? Shouldn't you wear all Super Bowl stuff to the game on Sunday?
Yes. Absolutely. If like, you if
right,
you haven't, if you're going,
be
yes.
All Super Bowl. Exactly. You got to make them feel like this is Super Bowl all over again. That's right, Belichick. That's what you got to do.
But then does that add to the revenge factor for Brady and the rest of that team? They see nothing but Super Bowl stuff around.
So what? You got to stick it in their eye.
All right.
I love it. You don't like it?
No, I like it. I'm just saying they're going to see all the Super Bowl stuff. They're like, oh, yeah? We'll show you.
Wait. But still, come on, man. Come on. You got it. I still think it's good.
No, it's a good idea.
Yeah, you sound lukewarm. There's only one problem with the wearing the Super Bowl stuff. And Joe Ben, that is?
You need Big Nick, man. Got to bring Big Nick back or don't do it.
Get out! He's playing already. Not again. No more fouls. Well, I'm haunted by this dude. Who wins more games, Foles or Carson? For the rest of the season. They're both back Sunday. Well, Foles is back Sunday. Both had the bye. Who wins more games? No. He said false. No, man. Come on. I got cards. But Michael, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Michael.
Yo, what's up, Anthony? How you doing, man?
What's up, Mike? What's going on,
man,
buddy?
Man, I got this. I got a whole bunch of stuff I want to get to. I know I'm not going to be too crazy, but I want to start out. I'm 42, so I want to start out in November of 1986. I'm sitting there with my dad. It's pouring rain. I'm at the Vet Stadium. We're playing LT and the Giants. I'm sitting there. I'm blind. I have the headphones on, and I'm eating my liverwurst and onion and rye with hot mustard. My first Eagles game, I fell in love. Fast forward to this year. A couple years ago. The day that Carson gets hurt, I happened to move up here. I moved up here to Shamokin, like, back in 2017.
Okay.
And so the day Carson gets hurt, I come up here. I'm like, oh, great, here we go. You know, this isn't looking good. And then fast forward to a month and a half, you know, Super Bowl Sunday. And it's that Super Bowl Sunday, and I get up, and, you know, I had the game on that night, and it was just like, I couldn't believe it. Like, when we won everything, I couldn't believe it. It was like
it's amazing, right?
It was crazy. And here's the kicker. I got mad because I couldn't get home. I couldn't get down there. I couldn't get home to enjoy everything because it cost like 80-some dollars for a round-trip bus ticket. It was crazy.
Are you serious? Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's cheaper to take Amtrak from there to Lancaster and back than it is to come from here. I know. But yeah, man, this game means so much to me because it's just when you ask the question, like, with that Super Bowl game,
what do I envision?
And I envision those years of, okay, for example, one year I was with my dad and we were at the year when, the year we lost 20-6 to the Redskins and Buddy got fired. And then of course the year when, those horrible heartbreaks with the NFC Championship games with Andy Reid. And my dad had passed in 2012. So like when we won the Super Bowl, it just, everything came, you know, full circle. And,
it hit us in such a profound way, right? Like, all the loved ones, those that had passed and all those years and all those games and all the connections. I mean, again, yep. I mean, when we talk about sports in Philadelphia, I mean, that's the soul of the thing. I mean, like, you know, yep. I mean, that, yeah. great stuff, Mike. Really. Thank you, Michael.
I want to fast forward to Sunday. We both know that we all know that Belichick takes away what the other team does best. So I worry about defensively. Are they going to double Fletcher Cox in the middle like that? Because you know the main goal for us is to, hit Tom through the A caps. You got to send pressure through those A gaps. And are they going to double Fletcher and the boys up front? Because
I think you make a great point. A great football. An astute point that you would really try to double Cox and say, go ahead, if you're going to get pressure. That's why I think Barnett has to get some pressure off the edge. I think that's a big deal. But getting back to what, you know, Michael talked about and what the Super Bowl meant, and it's still to this day, it's one of those things that I'll never forget that moment. The moment when, you know, the Hail Mary falls to the ground. So we were at the AKA Hotel. We had a big suite. And we had all the guys there, right? My old friends that grew up together and love the Eagles. My cousin who was on the show yesterday, Jimmy Head, who's here, in fact, at the Primos. And we're all together, and when Mikey Miss is there, and we're watching the game, and ball hits to the turf and it's like they won, and I'm like hugging my cousin like, oh, you believe it, like they actually won. And you know, and we start drinking and we walk to down Walnut Street to Broad Street and the whole thing, and it was one of these just really surreal moments in the whole city. It was amazing that outpouring. I'll never forget the hours after the game, and we were, you know, like we were actually on around 20th and Walnut. And just all the people stopping, hugging each other. It was the most amazing display of human connection. It was really, really deep. Kevin, you're on 97.5. The Fanatic, my man, Kev.
Yo, hey, Ant.
Yo, Kev.
Hey, Ant, look, man, me and you really never disagree, man. But I know Brett's a good guy, man, and everything like that. I don't know if they need another spark. Spark and B, because it starts with Ben and B, man. If these guys would come to play like they can play, we talking about like a Kobe Shaq three-peat type thing, man. I'm sick and tired of their work ethic and everything else like that. What if Embiid lost 20 pounds and he's still out of shape? Come on, man. We should be playing bully ball. You know what I mean? And then when Ben is more aggressive, can't nobody stop him. Just like Broussard said, can't nobody stop him. So why?
Listen. You're right. I'm not arguing. I'm just telling you. I'm rooting for him to get it together. But I'm as frustrated as you are because there's no. I see 68 threes, right?
Right.
I see 68 threes, and it drives me insane because this is a team that can't shoot. Why would you shoot 68 threes in two games with this team? They can't shoot the ball. Makes no sense.
you're right. It makes no sense. We're not Houston. We're not Golden State. We're none of that. We're not Atlanta with Trae Young and them. So why are we shooting that? That stuff comes from coaching, too. And then B drives me nuts, taking the five threes. That he needs to be down there. He shoots over 80% of free throws. He needs to do something.
Listen, I'm with you. Like, he needs to be down low and all. But there are times when I don't – like, he's a guy I actually don't mind shooting because I think he's got a decent touch. And it does save him a trip down low.
He does have a decent touch. He does. But what I'm saying, man, you know, in the playoffs, when teams playing you in a seven-game series, they're taking away your strong suit. So if he's most dominant and he can hit free throws, that's his free throws. And last but not least, Ed, I want to thank you guys. I want to thank you guys, man. I went to the Temple game last Saturday. Great seat.
Oh, good,
great
Kev.
I'm going to invest in that one more time.
Nice. That's
smack
awesome,
and back,
brother.
baby.
I love
that's
it.
All right.
Give him a hug for me, all right?
All right.
Kev, you're the man, baby.
Thank you.
Thanks, brother. See you, buddy. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975 is how you reach us. We're live, hanging in Old City. I love Old City. Third of Market, Primo Hoagies. Make sure for the game you get your primos. There's Junior. There's Nicky Jr. coming in looking great. All right. Yeah, I'm going to do Junior's. I'm doing play-by-play. Everybody walking in and out. I'm already in my holiday spirit. Can you tell?
Yeah, you can. I can. Yeah, can you do play-by-play of me coming in there?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, wait.
I wish you were. It's a sin that you got to be, you know. Hey, don't worry about it. Soon you'll be coming with me everywhere.
I'm here, Aunt. I'll keep him company.
I got a guy for you, Nat.
Oh, boy.
I do. No, seriously, I got a guy for you. Here at Primo's. I'm telling you.
What's he like on his hoagie?
What up?
Listen, you should be with he's a great guy, a handsome guy. You should be with a guy from Philly. You're all Philly.
Depends what he puts on his hoagie. It depends on whether or not I'll like him on his Primo's.
Put it this way, he's one of the executives here.
Oh.
All right, so you have free Primos for life.
Time for a break.
All right. Let me talk to you about the most convenient, affordable way to help with any of your cleanup. It's the Bagster. What should we throw in the Bagster, Tunis?
Three-pointers. All of them.
Should we throw Brett's briefcase in the Bagster? Oh, my God.
See a briefcase, man?
You get my point. Oh, man, stop shooting these threes. The Bagster bag, what a product. A 3-cubic-yard dumpster in a bag sold at Home Depot and Lowe's and local home improvement stores everywhere for just $29.99. The Bagster bag, it holds 3,300 pounds of waste. That's a lot. Even all those three-pointers, it can handle it. So if you're cleaning out, you know, for the holidays, the garage, the attic, maybe doing some remodeling, the Bagster bag can take it on. Buy it, fill it, schedule your collection. Poof, it is gone. There's no time limits. It's completely on demand. Go to thebagster.com to find the store nearest you for more details. Anthony Gargano telling you, clean it up with a Bagster. Dumpster in the bag.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.53 live, Primo's, Old City, 3rd and Mark. I can't believe it's 12:53, Tunis. What, are you kidding me? What are you doing, messing with the clock?
Yeah. I moved it forward 2 hours.
Did you? We got a lot to talk about. Am I being too nostalgic with Brett?
What do you mean?
Am I letting my heart dictate my head? Like Bobby Sears says yes. Now listen, it's all a moot point anyway because he's not going anywhere.
Right.
So I can root for him because I think he's a good man. I think the story would be way better if he's the guy that was able to finish the job and win.
Yeah, the story does make it better, but that's not the point. The point is just winning. And if he's not the coach to do it, you got to move on. Now, I said last season during the regular season I wanted to move on after the season ended, but I thought the way he coached in the playoffs saved him another season. But I'm seeing the same things.
Look, I mean, undeniable, he did coach well in the playoffs.
Yes, he did. That's why I said he earned another year.
Like, you know, I mean, they had a couple bad games, and then he got them to play, and he made the right moves with Nick Nurse. Like, I thought he outcoached Nick Nurse. I mean, they're at, you know, four bounces on the road to winning.
Right. To go into the Eastern Conference Finals. And you and I think we were both on the same page back then that they would have won that Eastern Conference Finals and have moved on to the NBA Finals.
No, listen, I'm as frustrated as everybody else is. I'm trying to give it the amount of time. I just, there's certain things I just don't get, and that's why you would shoot as many threes and not bang the ball inside and play how you're supposed to play. Let's go to Rocco in Scranton. Rock, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yo, so I heard you wanted the Super Bowl story. I've got one for you.
Good, Rock.
So that 15 years ago, I moved here. Me and my buddy Carm, we've watched every season together. And every season we say, this is our year, this is our year. Well, that year we finally made the Super Bowl. We're all excited. And he lives next to a church. They have a big church parking lot. We said, you know what, let's tailgate the game before. We're going to hang out, drink some beer, grill some food. So it starts snowing. We have that snowstorm coming in. My buddy throws me the football. I go for the catch. We have the doors open on the car, listen to the radio. Sure enough, I slip in the snow, and I go headfirst into the car door. Bang. I'm blacked out. All of a sudden, I wake up. Everybody's surrounding me. I'm bleeding out of my head. They carry me into the house. They get in the bathroom. My head's just pouring blood, and I pass out a second time. I wake up on the bathroom floor. They got 911 on the phone, and I was like, cancel that ambulance. I am not going to the ambulance because I'm not paying for it. So they're like, oh, don't come. So we get on the porch. The ambulance shows up anyway. And I said, listen, I'm not going. I'll be okay. And they're like, listen, you need to go get that fixed. So we went to the urgent care. And they told me they won't stitch up my head because it was a car accident. And I said, what are you talking about? I just ran headfirst into a car. It's still a car accident. So now we got to drive in the snowstorm across town to a hospital. So I'm not joking. You remember
the car accident? The car was not moving.
Tell me about it. And it's a snowstorm. So it's ice all over the road. Remember those Zubaz pants, those zebra pants in the 80s and 90s?
Sure.
So I'm not joking. I'm head to toe in Eagles gear. I got my Zubaz pants, my Zubaz hat, Eagles jerseys, everything. So we go to the hospital. And I walk in, blood pouring down my head. I'm obviously concussed. And they said, all right, wait in this hallway. So I'm sitting there. Some kid, I guess, broke his arm the same day. So I'm in a hallway with a kid screaming his head off. And all I'm worried about now is just getting back for the Super Bowl. I don't want to miss it. I've waited my whole life to see this. So they said, listen, we got to give you a tetanus shot. And I said, that's going to delay this. I don't want it. They told me, they're like, listen, you need a tetanus shot.
You risked the tetanus shot.
They said, you hit a rusty door in the water. You got to get it. I said, I'm not getting it. And they said, what about a CAT scan? I said, I don't need it. They said, yeah, obviously, a little concussion, you should get the tetanus in the x-ray. I said, you can't do anything for a concussion. Let's just get this done. So they wheel me in. They wheel me into the room, and they wrench my whole head out, 6 feet of blood. I got pictures of it. And they put 5 staples in my head. On the 5th staple, I start to get wheezy. They start to pass out again. And I was like, no, I'm fine. I was like, let me just go. And they said, you got to rest. I said, no, I got to get out of here. I made it back just in time for the kickoff. We won the game. I like to think that part of my concussion was part of the reason why we won.
I love it. I got to tell you, that's a great story. That's a great Rocco. That's awesome, man.
I don't remember all of the Super Bowl. Luckily, my buddy taped it, so we still watch it. But I just remember everybody had to be real careful around me when we were cheering and hugging when good plays happened, because one, I wasn't too steady on my feet. Two, I had staples in the back of my head.
Dude, that is awesome. What a great story. I love it, man. Thank you for sharing that, brother. That's awesome. That's a great, great story. Dude, my man says, you know what? Listen, Super Bowl, we're going to know. It's a concussion.
I appreciate that.
Right?
I don't need this hospital.
That's a great story, man. I respect that. That's what we would do, right? I mean, look, you're not going to miss the Super Bowl. God forbid.
Blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah. Goose, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Goose?
Man, I wish I had a better day for you, man.
What's happening, baby?
The start, when I went home to watch The Irishman, it wasn't available yet.
But then
I checked my phone and it's available now, so I'm going to go home and watch it today. But let me get that out of the way.
Oh, wait a second. The Irishman is on Netflix now?
Yeah, it's on Netflix now. I just checked my phone and it gave me the option to play. So, you know, I'm going to go home and watch it today.
I thought it was still in the theater. Oh, wow. I didn't know it was on. Oh, man. That's
my whole day.
I'm going to have to watch it.
Today is my Friday. I'm going to go home and watch it today.
Do it. Yeah, good.
But listen, I'm a little upset, man. I don't know where to start. Load management backfired on us. Where do we get off to think that we're that good that we could just take off games? Everybody's talking about wait, give them time. We need time for them to gel. But how can we give time to gel when everybody's taking off? They taking off. We're not going to be able to get these 20-25 games in until March with everybody playing as a starting unit. That's my first beef. Tobias is playing out of position, but they're asking him to be JJ, and he's not that. He's a mid-range guy that can shoot the three.
The JJ thing is silly. Like, he's not a guy coming off of screens.
That's not his game. It's never been.
I agree. Listen, if he has an open look, you take the three there.
Take the shot.
But you're not running the screens. That's crazy.
And then another thing, and I hate to end with this, man, but you know where I'm going. That my man, Ben Simmons, yet again disappears in the fourth quarter, and we lost to Orlando Magic by 15, 16 points. That's unacceptable, and it's becoming routine, because it's becoming routine that in the fourth quarter of any close game, this guy is nowhere to be seen. And that's unacceptable. You can't coach that. That's all mental.
There's a litany of issues about it. I mean, that's the problem.
Where do we start? At what point do we get another Markelle Fultz situation?
No, he's not Markelle Fultz.
He's more talented, I give you that.
Markelle Fultz is emotionally stunted. All right, I mean, even though he's playing, he's still emotionally stunted. Ben's not. He's not that. See, you're going overboard now. He's not Markelle Fultz. I agree with you. Like, he's got to be able to attack the rim and be aggressive. But he's not false. Come on. I mean, at this point, Brett has to get them to be different down in the stretch of the fourth quarter. They just need to play differently. They need to attack more. They need to not take as many threes, all that stuff. By the way, you can win the ultimate Birds fan experience. Two tickets to the Monday night game, December the 9th. Field passes, a VIP tour of ESPN broadcast truck. That's right, Eagle safety Rodney McLeod has set a goal to raise $23,000 for the American Association for Cancer Research, the first and largest organization dedicated to finding cures for all cancers. Go to 975thefanatic.com/donate. Make a donation to Rodney McLeod's Race to 23K campaign, and your donation automatically enters you for this ultimate Birds fan experience. Donate today. Support cancer research, and you can win exclusively from Eagles safety Rodney McLeod, the AACR, and the 975 The Fanatic. All right, it's 1 o'clock. You're listening to 975 The Fanatic. WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the fabulous Primo Hoagies right here on 3rd and Market.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.